From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with stories of high strangeness, followed by conversations with Linda. That's when we take your phone calls. Here's what's happening. That suicide bomber in Manchester, England, called his mother to ask for forgiveness hours before he carried out the attack at the Ariana Grande concert. Salem Abedi, 22 years old, called his mother and said, "Forgive me." The mother and three siblings in Libya were summoned for questioning now. The 22-year-old, I don't know what caused this. You never know, but 22 people died, more than 50 others injured. I thought we'd bring in our resident psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin, to talk about this. Peter, what would possess a 22-year-old youngster to kill himself like this and take all these innocent people with him?
Well, George, it's a huge question. It's a cultural and political and psychological question, and it's a big one to dip into. But I think one of the fundamental realities is that human beings, have, especially males, I think, have a huge reservoir potential for violence. And growing up can be a great struggle, and I'm sure growing up in different cultures can be a great struggle. And if the culture has a subset of values that make violence a rational, even good, wonderful thing, then young people are going to get pulled into it. There's just no way around it.
This ideology is got to be fixed, Peter, and I don't know how it's going to change. I mean, in this case, he lied to his parents. They thought he was going to go to Mecca on a pilgrimage, as they're into Ramadan now. And instead, of course, he went to Turkey and he went to some other places.
Yeah. Well, I think it's encouraging, George, that he apologized to his mother, because if it's true, then he wasn't being encouraged by his immediate family, at least by his mother. But that, again, brings up the question, then why would he go in that direction? And I think that growing up is very difficult. It always has been for us in pretty much all of our cultures, the modern ones. And as long as that ideology is there and available and exists on a large level, it is just going to pull in young people. And it's going to pull in people who didn't even grow up being Muslims.
And this is going to happen more and more, isn't it?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, we are really in for this. And we've got to find a way in America to engage the Muslim community so that they feel like they're Americans and we feel like they're Americans, and we can develop trust with each other so that the culture itself will be unaccepting of this. I think that that's what has to happen. It's what's happened with every other group that's come to America. They've come to this country, and they've had their own hostilities sometimes with our culture. But as groups, they have always assimilated into the basic governmental structure, the basic views of how to live life. And there are some real differences with the Muslim culture, at least with a part of it and a substantial part of it. And I hope that we in America can find a way to relate to each other so that this doesn't have to be a violent clash.
I hope so too, Peter. One of Peter's books, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety. He is our resident psychiatrist, one of the few doctors out there who does not like to prescribe medication. And he's a good guy. Glennis McCants, of course, is the numbers lady, and she has had an opportunity to look at the number 22, the date this all happened, and terrorism. Glennis, what do you got for us here?
Hi, George.
Hi there.
There are actually three patterns that you and your audience should pay attention to. First of all, this month of May, when you and I talked earlier, the month of five, I told you this was political drama month, and you've never seen anything like this. You can go back to James Comey, special counsel, all the stuff we've been through, and now, of course, this terrorist attack. So that's the first thing to be aware of. When you look at 22, we're talking master numbers. You and I have talked about that. The master number 11 played a role with 9/11, and then Benghazi was again a repeat of 9/11. And then you have this terrorism. There's been major attacks on the 22nd. So the concern people have, if you look at the pattern, have you looked this up? Like Lee Rigby, there was attack. It was May 22nd, 2013. The concern is, will it repeat itself? Manchester happened the same day.
They can't be smart enough to plan it like that.
No, but you know what they can do? Absolutely not. Like, I would never say to you, oh, gee, terrorism only happens on a master number day. It doesn't. But what does happen, it's memorable. We don't get over it. The fact that, you know, one of our performers went out there, little Ariana Grande, she's a 23-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You know, she does a concert, and people ended up dead. So the concern now, the other pattern people are worried about is July 22nd, okay? That's because there was an attack, and they're worried it, something's going to repeat itself. There's one thing terrorism does tend to do. It can celebrate an attack they've done before by doing it on the same day. So that is why it is concerning. The third thing I want you guys to keep in mind, July is the month of seven, and over, George, you're going to see patterns when it comes to a religion, like a war. You know, ISIS is so hell-bent on what they believe is right, you know, and if you're not with them, you're against them. So, yeah, I'd pay attention till July. I would also pay attention, big attention, George, to the month of eight, which is August. And when I say that, I mean politics across the board. When you think this month of five was big, George, watch for August.
Okay. Thanks, Glonis.
You're welcome.
NumbersLady.com. That's her website. Federal appeals court has upheld a ruling blocking President Donald Trump's travel ban against six Muslim-majority countries. The 10-3 ruling from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upholds a lower court's decision to halt portions of the executive order indefinitely. Now, the Trump administration says it plans to appeal to the Supreme Court. In Florida, a woman claiming to be a psychic has been arrested after clients claim she scammed them out of $155,000. Now the authorities are asking that any additional victims come forward. Detectives say their investigation began a few years ago when the first victim, a 33-year-old military veteran, approached detectives during a fraud awareness seminar in Florida. And the man reported that he'd been scammed by a 31-year-old woman who took $92,000 from him before he realized he was being scammed. Folks, don't give $92,000 to psychics, please. Most fitness trackers are good at measuring heart rate, but poor at measuring calories burned, according to a new study. As a result, people should be cautious about using them to judge what they eat. Phoenix has officially edged out Philadelphia to become the fifth biggest city in the United States. Phoenix is also the quickest growing city in the country. Now, number one, of course, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston is number four, and now Phoenix has pushed out Philadelphia to become number five. Peter Davenport, of course, knows all about the Phoenix Lights that happened in 1997. What do you got for us tonight, Peter? What's going on?
Yeah, well, delighted to be on tonight, George. I've been away from the hotline for about 9 days, for the McMenamins UFO Festival.
Yes, you were. We couldn't even get you.
I was busy a week ago, and we had a wonderful festival, six excellent speakers, excellent presentations, really unsettling about a number of things, but it was wonderful talk, and I've been sort of dragging my feet getting back home, but it appears to have been the week of triangles, George. A week ago today, 21 minutes past noon, a gentleman writes, he was in Spokane Valley, just east of the city of Spokane. His attention was drawn to the sky by the sound of an aircraft. He's an aircraft aficionado, and he looked up into the sky just to admire the airplane. He was quite surprised to see not only a 747 or perhaps an Airbus product flying across the northern sky, but right beside it, he writes, was a very slender, either white or silver, very slender triangular craft flying right next to the airliner. The interesting thing about this report is that the airliner was generating a contrail, but he says the triangular craft was not. We'll have that report posted within the next 24 to 48 hours once I'm able to get home and get working on these reports.
Okay.
What interests me is that about the first report is 2 days later, a young lad was sitting outside with his girlfriend in Silver Lake, Kansas, and they were looking at admiring the clear night sky, calm, no clouds, just a beautiful sight of the night stars. And as they stared up almost directly above them, they both saw a very strange-looking triangle. He's provided an excellent illustration of what it looked like to him. It looked like two right triangles positioned close to one another as they streaked overhead. It took them, he writes, took those two triangles only about 2 seconds to go from directly overhead to gone over their effective horizon, almost 90 degrees of arc in under 2 seconds. They were really, really moving. Should have that report posted again in the very near future. The next day, the 21st, Sunday, at about noon, two gentlemen, both of them very responsible business owners, were outside looking at the sky, and their attention was drawn to the sky by a very strange popping or snapping above them. They looked up and were quite surprised to see a round object, almost the size of the sun, they write, that was flaring or strobing every 3 minutes, or 3 seconds, I should say. But as they looked at it more closely, they realized that there was an object shaped like a cigar very close to it. Every time the round object strobed, they write, the cigar-shaped object changed its position relative to the round object. Very difficult to describe what the witnesses have written here, but we should have these reports posted
Super.
Very soon, and probably 100 or 150 others very much like them.
Great. Talk to you next week, Peter. Thank you so much. A California woman is suing the makers of Jelly Bean Jelly Beans, claiming she was tricked into believing one of the company's candy products was free of sugar. Jessica Gomez purchased the jelly beans and thought that she wasn't getting a sugary substance. Well, jelly beans are made with a lot of sugar. What else is going on with food? In a moment, Dr. Renee Defoe joins us. Her book, Unsafe at Any Meal, What the FDA Doesn't Want You to Know About the Foods You Eat. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Dr. Renee Defoe, the book, Unsafe at Any Meal. Dr. Defoe became a medical laboratory specialist in the U.S. Army in 1976, a Bachelor of Science degree in Environmental Policy Analysis and Planning at the University of California, then served in the Navy for 2 years as an industrial hygiene officer before transferring to the Public Health Service, where she served as an environmental health officer. Now, during this time, she worked at the National Institutes of Health, the Environmental Protection Agency, the FDA, where she provided expertise in the areas of toxicology, environmental health, and industrial hygiene. Since her retirement, Dr. Defoe earned a doctorate in health education and is the founding executive director of the Food Ingredient and Health Research Institute. You have quite a resume, Doctor. Welcome to the program.
Well, aloha, George, and thank you for having me on your program.
Oh, my pleasure. And you do great work. Your book, Unsafe at Any Meal, I think is so important. I think it's a must read for just about every family. And thanks for serving, by the way. I served 9 years in the Navy, and you were all over the place. So thank you.
Thank you.
Now,
thank you.
Tell me a little bit about you were with the FDA, and you've written a book called Unsafe at Any Meal, What the FDA Doesn't Want You to Know About the Foods You Eat. Tell me about that title.
Well, what it really means is that without educating yourself, if you eat the standard American diet, then you will become sick over time. You or your child will develop a disease, a Western disease. So if you're a pregnant woman and you eat without awareness, then your child is going to be at risk of autism, ADHD, type 2 diabetes, or even heart disease.
When you were at the FDA, and you kind of saw them turn their face the other way, or the cheek the other way, did it flabbergast you?
Well, I was blown away because I really didn't. My work had been supported there. I I felt like there was a lot of support at the agency. So I was a bit surprised that they didn't want me to publish the findings that we'd come up with. And there was some shock. I had to change my plans.
Is it all about money with the FDA?
I think that the FDA is influenced by corporations, and it probably is, you know, I mean, the corporations that influence FDA, it's all about money for them, that's for sure, the being able to make as much profit as possible. And in fact, in the federal government, when I was in, and for several years towards the end there, we didn't refer to the government as a bureaucracy. We refer to it as a corporocracy.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. You know, the influence was astronomical.
You talk a lot about pesticides. And tell me what the FDA is not doing about pesticides.
Well, the FDA doesn't really have a role in pesticide regulation as far as food goes. But where they do play a role is when pesticides are used in the manufacturing of products. So things that are packaged, there's going to be some pesticides applications on the packaging, and also, like, say a company is preparing carrots and they're going to package them, you know, those little baby carrots that are skinned. Well, then the chlorine bleach that is used to rinse those vegetables,
mm-hmm.
that is considered a pesticide. So that's when the FDA has any say at all about how pesticides are used. You know, the Environmental Protection Agency is involved in establishing the safe levels of pesticides on crops. So they're the ones in charge of making those determinations.
Is it safe to say, Dr. Defoe, that we're getting killed by the food we eat?
Oh, I believe we are, absolutely. Oh, geez. You've heard Western diet leads to Western disease. I mean, all the diseases that we're seeing increase over time with each successive generation. We've got kids now that are, you know, 10 years old and being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes from the diet. You know, earlier and earlier, kids are being having the diagnoses of heart disease and high blood pressure. It's insane. So without a doubt, the Western diet is killing us.
Do you think if we ate correctly, we could cure most of these problems?
Absolutely. I think that if we had a diet that was mostly whole foods, organic, whenever possible, and if we stayed away from all the processed foods, we would be healthy. And there's enough evidence to suggest that.
And what's the definition of a processed food?
A processed food is in my mind, when you buy something that didn't come out of the ground, but perhaps it started there, and then they did something to the fruit or the vegetable or the grain, and then through the process of making it into a new product, whether it's flour, you know, wheat gets
mm-hmm.
turned into flour, or if it's you know, canned tomatoes, you know, anything that is done to change the nature of that whole food that came out of the ground and to produce a product that you can sell, that's a processed food. And usually, you know, processed foods have ingredient labels. You don't find an ingredient label on the tomato or a head of lettuce.
No.
You just find an ingredient label on processed foods.
And what about processed meats and like turkey slices and things like salamis? I'm told that you should stay away from that too.
You absolutely should. Unless heart disease is associated with too much sodium intake, and people think of salt and sodium.
And nitrites, I guess, are bad.
Sodium nitrite. See, the nitrites that you hear about are connected to a sodium atom, so they're sodium compounds. So all those sodium compounds are adding to your salt, your overall salt level. And there's already been, you know, the Institute of Medicine wrote a lengthy report saying that we need to reduce our sodium intake, and they list all the different sodium chemicals.
I want to talk with you about all these studies that come out that seem to contradict each other. We're going to come back in a moment with Dr. Renee Defoe, her book Unsafe at Any Meal. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with stories of high strangeness. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Renee Defoe as we talk about her work Unsafe at Any Meal as well. And welcome back, Dr. Renee Defoe with us, Unsafe at Any Meal. The book is available at Amazon.com and most bookstores as well, Barnes & Noble for sure. And you can also check in with a publisher. We'll give you that number in a moment. What's the one thing, Renee, you would like people to learn when they read the book Unsafe at Any Meal?
Well, I'd like them to learn that the diet is, getting healthy isn't about reducing your fat and sugar intake. There's so much more to it than that. For example, it's the kind of fat. And one thing that we've seen change since 1970 is that vegetable oils have, the consumption of vegetable oils has increased 250%. So the average American in 1970 ate 10.3 pounds per year of cooking oil, vegetable oils. And then in 2010, the average American was consuming 36 pounds per year. So that meanwhile, butter consumption didn't change much to speak of. Of course, margarine with the trans fat consumption, it has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kinds of sugar, you know, people talk about how sugar is so bad for you, and it is true, you don't want to overdo sugar. But when you look at how our diet has changed and the increase in the Western diseases, in 1970, the average American consumed 0.3 pounds per year of high fructose corn syrup. And then in 2014, the average American consumed 26.8 pounds per year of high fructose corn syrup. So the increase, the percent increase over that time period was 8,833% increase in the high fructose corn syrup consumption, whereas the increased in, of course, cane and beet sugar went down, but not by much, only 32%. So as our sugar consumption increased, it was a kind of sugar, a specific sugar, that increased. And in vegetable oils and high fructose corn syrup, there are documented studies showing trace amounts of inorganic mercury. So you want to, people need to understand that everything they're hearing on the news, that this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more information about food ingredients and food colors and sodium chemicals. There are allowable levels of mercury and lead, cadmium and arsenic, that the international food safety standards allow. I mean, and the U.S. government does. So we have heavy metal exposures that by the time you have those along with the pesticide exposures, that then you've got co-exposures going on. And then we're talking about factors that impact the way your genes behave. And this is what brings about our Western diseases.
If you were going to grade the FDA in terms of how they take care of people, with A, B, and, of course, your top grade, what would you give them?
Well, you know, how are they going to take care of people? What is their actual role? When FDA came on the scene in the early 1900s, there were hundreds of food ingredients already on the market. So they all got grandfathered in. So their job is to, by law, is to make sure that labeling is done properly. And so in terms of labeling foods properly and so that the consumer knows what they're actually eating, I'd say they'd probably get an F, frankly.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there's no follow-up, very little regulation. We've got unhealthy claims going on where, you know, manufacturers are claiming that something is healthy when it's not, They have no basis for saying that. And we've got, you know, allowable heavy metals in the food ingredients. You read a food ingredient label, but you don't know that this particular or that particular ingredient has allowable lead or allowable mercury, you know. And in European Union and United Kingdom, they've at least tried to warn parents of some of the problems, those associated with food colors, that we still allow in our country. Some are banned in the UK and Europe, and others, you cannot sell a product with those food colors without putting a warning label that says, beware, this product has been known to have food ingredients known to cause hyperactivity. So, you know, we don't even have warnings on our food packaging about what is known, you know. I think unfortunately the FDA has not done a very good job with the
labeling
responsibility.
I agree. Let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, Renee, first of all, I'd ask you about deceptive labeling on ingredients. You know, I try and avoid, to an extent, MSG, but it goes under 20 different names. Secondly, I would suspect there's some payoffs involved with the EPA and the FDA, you know, with all the money swishing around. And my third question would be, do you blame people somewhat themselves for eating a lot of junk food?
That's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Let's start with the last one while I still remember it. I don't think that we can blame people for eating a lot of junk foods when they don't even... In high schools nowadays, we don't have home economics anymore in a lot of schools. And kids, we're in second or third generation where they're eating four or five fast food meals a week. And parents don't... Many young people don't even know how to cook whole food.
No.
So we have a real problem there with our education system where people don't know how to cook from scratch. They don't, they're eating fast food because it's convenient and easy. We've got dual parents working, and there's, you know, a problem of not a lot of time. So people need to learn how to eat healthy, and we don't have the system in place to teach them how to do that. So I don't think it's the people's fault for eating a lot of highly processed foods. I think that they're just, you know, eating what's available because no one has told them how to do it different. And they don't know what the risks are to their health. They really don't.
And you can't blame them, can you?
No, you can't blame them at all.
What else did you have, Joe?
Yeah, just deceptive labeling on ingredients.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been going on for a long, long time, from the very day that FDA became an agency. I mean, deceptive labeling continues. Back in the day, you know, there was something called snake oil, and that was something that they actually did catch, where they were making a claim about the snake oil being good, full of a certain good, healthy fat. And the reality is that particular snake oil was not good for you. So it was a false claim. But even there's been people who've retired, leaders of FDA, who have said that there's this problem with unhealthy claims. So it's widely known, and, you know, it is what it is.
Next up, we have Jerry in Manhattan in New York as well. First-time caller, Jerry, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you tonight?
Great, Jerry. Thank you.
I've actually read reports online on reliable sources stating that many of these deli companies are actually incorporating meats that are not what they are advertising. They're using cheaper meats in their deli, and I wanted to know if your guest knew anything about that.
Okay. Cheaper deli food. Do they trick us, Renee?
I don't know if they trick us with cheaper deli food. I do believe that they, you know, that there's trace amounts of heavy metals in the ingredients that go into preserving those deli foods. But that's about all I know on that. I don't know if they're telling us it's pork when it's really beef. You know, that kind of trickery, I don't know.
We've got Jessa in Nevada City, California now. Hi, Jessa. Go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to make a share my experience with diet and my body, and then make a comment about organic foods. One thing is that you know, I started out just eating. My parents were into health food and stuff, but they let me eat whatever I wanted. And once I was able to, my favorite food was pizza. And I started smoking and drinking and doing stuff like that in college and smoking pot. And I finally got to this point where I was having the most horrific allergies in the world. I mean, it was just debilitating. And I finally came to this realization that my body was just toxic and that I had to make changes. And in experimenting over time, I came to realize that I could party just crazy amounts, smoke cigarettes and drink. And if I ate really healthy, I was pretty much okay. But if I even stopped smoking, drinking, none of that, and I ate really terrible, I would get sicker than eating healthy and still indulging in bad habits. That's how crucial I think the diet is. And then the comment I wanted to make about, are you aware, I'm not sure if this is still the case, but most all organic food, the way that it's fertilized is basically 90%. The numbers that I used to look at, because my friend was worked for the certification industry for organics, and 90% of all the farms, their main fertilizer supply is non-organic chicken litter. So you're supporting indirectly this business from these non-organic nasty chicken farms, and all of the toxic stuff is in that, that they're allowed to then use into organic foods, and they don't test that.
That's horrible.
Don't test it before you eat it.
I would believe that. I don't know anything about that, but I do know that there's, you know, regardless of where the land is, if anything's ever been done on it, whether you're doing agriculture or some other industrial process, there's a potential for contamination. And so whether it's a chicken farm or whatever, you don't know what was on that chicken farm before the chicken farm was there.
No.
You know? So that's alarming to think that... you know, that they don't have stricter or tighter guidelines for what you can place as fertilizer on organic crops. But even if you ate all organic, but you still ate a diet high in processed foods, that's not going to, you know, eating organic's not going to save you or keep you healthy, I don't believe. I think you've really got to avoid all of the processed foods and eat whole fruits and vegetables and grain and beans and all of that, fish, whole foods. And then if you are concerned about pesticides, and I write about this in one of the book chapters, there's been studies that show that if you rinse them a certain way, as far as the produce and vegetables, depending on what produce and vegetables you're talking about, then you can remove quite a bit of those pesticide residues. So the key thing, I think, is eating whole, healthy foods, and that you make those meals from scratch, and stay away from the processed.
Renee, have you gotten any feedback from anybody from the FDA with your book?
Well, you know, I've been kind of keeping a low profile because
not since you've been on this show now.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard anything, and I don't know that I would, because everything in my book, I think there's like 40 pages of references. It's all very science-based, and everything I say is backed up by a good reference. So I don't anticipate hearing anything, because I'm just saying what's going on. I'm saying what it is. I don't know that there'll be any controversy.
Your publisher is squareonepublishers.com, by the way, for people who also want that information. Squareonepublishers.com. The name of the book is Unsafe at Any Meal. Let us get Alan in Atlanta, Georgia. Alan, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I eat pretty healthy. I cook my own food. I have friends that go to McDonald's and all the rest of the places, fast food things. But what really got me was I picked up one of my few treats, which were M&Ms. And on the back of it says now, partially produced with genetic engineering.
Hmm.
They're genetically engineering M&Ms now. What is safe?
Everything is GMO these days, huh?
Well, my guess is there might be a corn ingredient, a food ingredient made from corn in that in the M&Ms. I don't have the label in front of me, but most of the corn products are a result of GMO corn.
Renee, what's the next step for somebody like you? I mean, what do you do next?
Well, we're in the scientific process. I'm in the phase where you communicate your findings. So, you know, we've done solid science in the case of inorganic mercury residues in the food supply. We know through clinical trial work involving human subjects that inorganic mercury exposures do result from eating highly processed foods. And these exposures are directly associated with the development of type 2 diabetes. This we have done. We've published this. The more processed food you eat, the higher your inorganic mercury and fasting glucose levels. So the science is done as much as I can do it as an independent researcher. If somebody were to donate money to the nonprofit I run, Food Ingredient and Health Research Institute, enough money, we could. The technology exists where we could actually show and prove, I believe, exactly what inorganic mercury does to specific gene behavior and what, how it impairs our ability to process pesticides, for example.
Well, good job on the book, and I hope you continue to get the word out. Your website, foodingredient.info, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And again, the name of the book is Unsafe at Any Meal, Dr. Rene Defoe. Up next on Coast to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe joins us with some incredible stories of high strangeness. You're going to love them, including, of course, our final hour conversations with Linda, giving you an opportunity to talk with her or maybe give her a story tip that she can run out and chase. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back with Linda in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.